You're listening to Sleep Time's Over.
This uplifting cinematic experience.
I've got something important to tell you, Matt.
The big story is...
Dig this and dig it deep.
What if I had the power to gather all of my favorite MCs with the illest comic book characters and they became arch enemies? Inconceivable, unbelievable, yet as wild as it seems. The Emperor and Stan Lee will coach the two opposing teams. Keep it clean, no bats, no gats, guns or interference. Comic book characters would go head up with raw lyrics. Now I take whoever might be on break from doing tours and have them sign up for the last Emperor secret war. Sure, for that kind of capacity we need a crazy large arena that might stretch from West Philadelphia to East Medina. If I'm able, I'd put it on pay-per-view through my label and give free tickets to my neighborhood bums with no cable. Yeah, that sounds fat. Now that we've squared away the propositions, let's begin with the ultimate tough man competition. Set it off, it's the fight of the century. KRS and Professor X would battle each other mentally with rhymes. These two team captains waste no time. Charles Xavier tried to invade Chris Parker's mind. He shot a cerebral probe at Chris's mind, but he missed it. Professor X taken out by the Blastmaster's metaphysics.
All right, we're back, and there's no Kevin the Catalyst for this one because he's not here. We're doing this at my home because we have the movie reviewer, Somalia to the Stars, Mr. Sky Cameron's here.
Yeah, what's up?
Infinity War happened on the break. He saw it, of course. I saw it. Cavett even saw it. But we're going to get the full kind of breakdown for the people that didn't see this, for the people that did see it. Well, for the people that didn't see this, forget it. Shut up. Spoilers are coming. I'm going to say this right now. Just move on. Just move forward. Okay, this will be like segment two. We haven't figured it out yet, but just fast forward. So we're going to get into this highest grossing opening weekend of all time.
That's right. Trump's right. Star Wars.
So what was it, 250?
257. And that was just
really?
That was just here in America.
Wow. So this had to hit a bill by now.
Is it we're at, it's at 1.2 billion as of today.
Really?
Yep.
Unreal.
It's right behind Black Panther as, I think, sixth highest grossing film, or coming up to the sixth highest grossing film of all time.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal. So, movie is just insane. I mean, okay, well, for the start, we're going to get into the breakdown of this. I just want to let everyone know that, of course, you've seen it.
Yeah.
You've seen it. You know the history. You know all the movies. You've seen them all.
Read the comics.
Look at that. See, right? We get the right people in there. I have not. But I watched this thing. I watched this thing on a Monday morning with all the nerds, all the virgins. They're all there. They're all eating, laughing, scratching. And I was there and I enjoyed this thing thoroughly. And I did not know a lot of what was going on in the backstory, but I was still drawn into a lot of this stuff. So we're going to break this down as far as the details,
right.
A lot of details. Let's go with it. What are the stats, first off? We mentioned a few.
Right now, you know, they're just starting to come out with the details of the film, but the studio's released the budget, which is $316 million just for the production alone.
Wow.
I think it's second only to Pirates of the Caribbean, one of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies that went up to $375 million to make.
Okay.
But this thing has already made more than that Pirates movie. This is Disney's,
right,
like, tentpole thing next to Star Wars.
Okay, and highest grossing Disney movie right here.
Well, no, because they own this and Star Wars. They just own the highest grossing films of all time. The only things that come close to it that's non-Disney is Titanic and Avatar.
Got it.
So
Unreal.
It's big time, man.
Unreal.
Really big, big.
I haven't seen any of those movies. Okay.
So yeah, $360 million budget. It's at $1.2 billion. They won already. I mean, they won all the money.
All the money.
Yeah.
Unreal. So let's break down your review here. Now this is going to be a spoiler review, but what is your take on it from beginning to end? Let's go down the line. What did you think of this movie?
Going in from a comic book fan,
yes,
from a guy that actually bought Infinity Gauntlet, Infinity War comic books when they came out in the, you know, in the 90s, I give it a solid 4 mics.
Okay.
I think it's definitely in the top tier of Marvel films.
Got it.
I do feel if it has any flaws, it's the flaws of just being an overstuffed film.
Yeah.
It's hard when you make a 2-hour, 45-minute movie that feels long, but at the same time short, because you can't fit in enough time for all these characters.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was going to mention to you. Like, it was long. We're in the theater for 3 hours. You got trailers, you got all this stuff. But it did not feel that way.
It flew by.
It flew by. I mean, you know, I had two pee breaks in this damn thing. But still, I timed them 1 minute, 1 minute, came back on fire. Just nonstop attack, everything. Right. Yeah.
Excellent. They loaded it up. Yeah. And I think that the movie did so many things right. But just depending on who is the character you care about.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people complain that they just didn't get to spend the time that they wanted to spend with certain characters.
Okay.
You know, and I, as explained, it's totally understandable.
Right.
Totally understandable. It's too many characters. I mean, right now we're packed to the gills with Marvel characters. I think in the MCU right now, for the heroes alone, we're up over 50 heroes. You know, combining all of the different MCU characters.
Ant-Man wasn't even in there.
It's a lot. And Ant-Man wasn't even in there. And neither was Hawkeye.
Hawkeye was not in there. That's right.
Okay, Hawkeye was a major guy that wasn't even in
there. Right. Well, he only shoot arrows. What? He'll do nothing. But then, here's the thing from the beginning. Okay, so as I watched this thing, and then I watched Ragnarok after watching this.
Right.
And if anyone knows, this is spoilers, so shut up. The beginning takes place pretty much after Ragnarok. The ship comes. Thanos is there.
It's a direct...
Maki.
It's a direct tie-in to the finale, the final sequence of Ragnarok.
Right.
As Asgard is destroyed and basically they are all on the ship together.
Right. Hulk is there. Hulk is taken down. The survivors. Where was Valkyrie in this?
So, I've been doing some research and read about... If you watch the movie for a second time, it's kind of hard to grasp everything on the first go around. But Idris Elba's character, who controls the Bifrost, he's the guy who spoiler gets killed in the opening sequence by Thanos. He actually opened up the Bifrost and was able to transport some of the remaining survivors off.
And
we are hoping that Valkyrie was one of those characters.
Because he sent Hulk out of there.
Right. Heimdall, I believe, is his name. Heimdall.
Got it.
Idris Elba's character, right? With the light eyes. Right, and he's the guy that controls.
The guy blind, but, you know.
Correct.
Blind, but he can see.
So he supposedly got some of the remaining survivors off of the ship.
Okay.
As well as the Hulk. He sends the Hulk to Earth.
Yeah.
Before he's killed. And then, spoiler again, Loki is killed.
Oh. Rest in
which peace, is a major. Wait, that was a major one, man. Like,
oh yeah. So that's why the beginning just hits you hard because, like, here we are. We're in. This is the war. Yeah, Thanos ain't playing around.
They lay all the cards out right in the beginning. They are going like, hey, this is the gauntlet we're throwing down. No pun intended, but like they're doing it.
No, totally entertaining. And then you go from there. And then is this when you break down the event? This is movie. Does this seem like this is the movie of Thanos? Is
exactly.
This is his thing. It's not the Avengers. It's Thanos' deal.
I think for the people that have been complaining that the Avengers aren't in this film enough, this is really Thanos' movie.
Right.
This is Thanos' movie. If you guys stay to the end of the credits, which mostly everybody did, you'll see at the end of the credits, Thanos will return. It's Thanos' film. It's his.
Right.
It's his origin film. It's his movie. And they really did a good job of building up his motivation, him as a character. Great villain. And best Marvel villain, I think.
Oh, by far.
By far.
A lot of emotion. I mean, he's really playing a father.
Right.
And he's genuinely sad about this whole thing. And then you look at this. Is it Thanos or Thanos?
Thanos.
Is it Thanos?
I think it's Thanos.
You're the guy. Thanos. Is it Thanos? I'm going to say Thanos.
Is this tomato tomato?
We're starting this. Okay. Okay, Thanos. I'm going to jump on your bandwagon. So he goes into and he has this theory about, you know, he wants to kill everybody, kill half the population, and you're kind of buying into this. You're kind of like going into this and thinking like, no, it's just kind of, it might work, but yeah, he's bad. We got to say he's bad. But it's interesting, like you don't really see that. It's kind of like Negan in Walking Dead.
Yes.
Like, do you see the similarities with that? It's very interesting how they kind of played with that. Is
the motivations are there, so the more sympathetic and the plight of the villain is, the better the heroes are, the better the whole story is. I mean, the better the villain is, the better the heroes are, everything.
Right.
The hero is only as good as the villain. Just so we don't have the uber nerds, let's call him Thanos, like they're calling
him. What's Thanos? Okay.
Let's just call him that. I just see the comments already. He's like,
bro, what are you
saying? How's this guy the expert? You know.
Bro, I don't.
But
Thanos, okay.
So we have an explosive beginning.
Yeah.
And I think to establish how powerful he is, he kicks the crap out of Thor and Hulk, who are arguably the most powerful guys. How's without that? Even like the full power, without him even having all of the gems,
yeah,
he just beats them to a pulp. It's beats unreal. Them to a pulp, and he traumatizes Hulk. Hulk has PTSD. Hulk
all sad, yeah. That was nuts. Right. I'm like, wow. Like, Hulk don't want to come out. No. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. Hulk's depressed. Okay, so interesting.
And then Heimdall sends Hulk to Earth.
Yeah.
And then we have the super cool Stephen Strange, Tony Stark team up.
Yeah, yeah. So the what do you think of the dynamics that they split up the certain factions? Anything that you like the best, or that you like the worst, or what do you think?
You know, everyone seems to. I think the more times we watch the film, I think each team up will get a little bit better and better. Yeah. The majority of the people that I talk to seem to enjoy the Thor and Rocket Raccoon friendship kind of bond that they have.
Yeah.
I personally really like Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, and Iron Man together. I love that dynamic of two really hard-headed, ego-driven guys.
Yeah.
And one, and the kid that is really just a go-getter and he wants to please his surrogate dad, right? Tony Stark's kind of Peter Parker's surrogate dad in this series.
Yeah.
I really love that whole dynamic there. I feel like the character that got the least love, who got the biggest applause in my screening, we saw it opening night, Thursday night screening, sold out show at Dole RPX, it was Captain America. Mm. He doesn't get much to do in this film.
Right, he doesn't.
And he's been missing since Civil War, the Civil War film. I just feel like he isn't given much to do in the movie.
That's interesting, right? So do you think that is going to be what they're going to build off of for the next one?
Exactly. We'll go into that at the very end. Let's talk about it at the very end.
Because
we have theories. We'll go over our theories. But
okay, so here's the thing with Doctor Strange. Okay, let's get to him.
All right.
I did not see Doctor Strange because I just thought, But I enjoyed Doctor Strange. Cumberbatch?
Yeah.
Great character. Great portrayal in this.
Yeah.
Now, is this the Doctor Strange that is pretty much portrayed in that solo movie, or is this him evolving from that solo movie to a character such as this? Because he was great.
Yeah, he's great. He's great in the Doctor Strange film. I think the only argument I have, and there's been a lot of people kind of split down the middle of the Doctor Strange film. I think it's a good movie. Yeah. I think that it's just built on an Iron Man template, the narrative template of an ego-driven doctor who then loses his, you know, strength, you know, due to an accident.
Okay.
You know, he loses his, you know, and it's kind of his redemption story.
Yeah.
And it's almost the exact same template as Iron Man. So a lot of people complain that they felt like it wasn't as original.
Got it.
And the story arc of Doctor Strange going from this ego-driven guy to the hero, they didn't quite feel it was as deserved as Tony Stark's, as Robert Downey Jr.'s portrayal. But I think you should just watch Doctor Strange. I think it's a little bit more towards the middle or the bottom of the MCU films.
Okay.
But it's definitely still worth watching.
Still watch them.
Okay. Yeah. And Cumberbatch is awesome.
He's a great actor.
Yeah, he's great.
I enjoyed him thoroughly. And he was also in
And you never watched Sherlock Holmes or any of his other stuff?
Never watched that. Yeah. I cannot watch too many British stuff, bro. But Ragnarok, we seen the night the wife and I saw that. He was in there briefly.
Yeah.
But it was good. I mean, it's like you're intrigued to want to learn more about this
guy.
And in Infinity War, it was great. So kudos to that guy.
He actually built the character even better than I felt in the original film. The original Doctor Strange film. He's building off that character. He's more comfortable in the skin of that character.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
In my opinion.
Okay.
But if any listeners out there disagree, I understand.
He's evolved from that character.
I think so. I think he's feels a little bit more comfortable in the character.
Okay.
It definitely felt that way to me. So
another relation was Star-Lord. And Iron Man. That was that was a good dynamic. That seemed to work on screen, very entertaining.
The Guardians definitely brought the biggest laughs in the movie.
Yeah. And it was interesting with the music, because the music doesn't start off like the typical Marvel.
No.
It starts off kind of dark, and it was good. And then they switch over to the Guardians, and then they're playing the song, the rock song.
Yeah.
So it was great.
They intermixed all of the different themes of music from every film.
That was great. That
they all did, the scores were mixed in. Yeah, it was really well done. They tried to keep it all true to the fans of each each property. They did a good job.
What didn't you like? What were the pet peeves that were like, oh, you saw that?
So, and we talked about this after you watched it. So a couple of pet peeves were just not enough time to kind of catch us up to certain plot points, right? You know, we had mentioned Vision and Scarlet Witch are in the film. If no one watched Age of Ultron or other films where Civil War, where they started to have a slight connection, it seemed. Now they're in a full-blown relationship. Somehow Scarlet Witch has completely dropped her Russian accent. And now has an American accent, which doesn't quite make sense.
That threw me off, bro.
Make a lot of sense there, but that that just could be the acting choice. You know, I don't know.
There was the David Banner Black Widow.
Right. But that one's another, that's another role, budding relationship that you didn't know about because you didn't see the previous films, and they alluded to that. That was more built off of Age of Ultron. Which, you know, that's, so there were certain things that if you weren't completely caught up, you know, you were kind of taken out.
Which is cool for the fans, but, you know.
For me, one of the bigger problems is the Thanos' lieutenants. And we say that Thanos is such a good villain. But then we have these guys, Ebony Maw, Cull Obsidian, Proxima Midnight, and Corvus Glaive, who, even for comic book guys like me from the 90s, they weren't introduced until much later. And I don't even know who they are. And if you didn't read the comic books or watch the Avengers cartoon, you don't know who the heck these guys are. And they just look like CGI trash.
Yeah, the CGI was very questionable with this. Very questionable. With those guys especially, we have no idea who these guys are. We don't give a damn. You got the one wizard guy running around blowing everybody up. And then, you know, Spider-Man, you know, he watches aliens. Let's go shoot the ship. He shoots out and that's it. And that's it.
He didn't
fly back in like Leia.
I think...
Why not?
The thing with these villains is we don't know any of their powers. We don't know the limitations. We don't have the rules for them. So therefore, who cares? What are the stakes here? Like, it doesn't matter. It seems like the guy you're talking about, the guy with the telepathic powers, I think he's Ebony Maw. Ebony Maw is like one of the top lieutenants of Thanos's brigade there, his army. But we don't know anything about him. All we know is that he's telekinetic. He seems almost all powerful, controlling everything around him. And then he gets killed by space oxygen, lack of oxygen.
He's like such a dominant guy. And okay, let's shoot the ship. And that's it. And then, you know, you're watching this and he's flying out there. He's flying back in. He's going to fly back in. And he doesn't. And we're like, what? Cut to the next scene?
Right.
It's bizarre.
Right.
So bizarre. And then the CGI, you know.
So with that one, Marvel had to hit a deadline. Being that this is one of the biggest films and one of the most computer-generated effects they've ever done for any film in history, they had to outsource multiple CGI companies from all over the world to finish it. So that's why if it looked uneven, remember we talked about certain scenes, it looked really great, and other scenes it's terrible. It's because you have to outsource all of this special effects work. And everyone's working as fast as they can, and only these guys, only certain guys can work to a certain level of quality. And then therefore, the film, it seems disjointed visually.
It did at sometimes. I mean, well, we talked about this off air too, but there's this one where, of course, Banner, he can't turn into Hulk. Hulk's depressed, so he gets this armor. And then you see a scene with him without the helmet. And it looks like he got Photoshopped in that, helmet.
It was noticeably bad. Really, really bad. Really bad.
That was awful. And there was a lot of that scene, a lot of the Wakanda fight. Very bizarre.
It was overload. It looked like Phantom Menace.
The shield.
It looked like the gun battle on Gundor. Was it Gundor? Gungan.
The Gungan War. Naboo.
Naboo.
Turn on the shield.
Misa forgot.
Ouch time. There was a lot of ouch CGI over there. It was really bad. But I mean, it didn't take away totally from it. I mean, So we go move on to the climax.
Well, before we do that, another bold narrative move. Yeah. The death of Gamora.
Oh, okay.
Right, and because so to make Thanos into a more sympathetic villain in a way, yeah. Right? Because we have to show that he has emotion and belief into what he's doing, right?
Okay.
His mission here is to get the Infinity Stones to basically wipe out half the galaxy,
right?
Because he feels like this is environmental control.
Right.
It's balanced to the universe.
Which you kind of buy into at the end of the movie.
They sell it really well.
Maybe, yeah. Rich guy and a poor guy.
They sell it really well. And it is the whole argument now of overpopulation, right? They're basically taking anyone who's arguing towards overpopulation, and they're taking it obviously to the extreme, but it's a completely relatable thing to everyone. We're all worried.
The scene that was real crazy is where he turns her head as they're blowing away half the population of her planet. Very emotional scene. Very well done scene of that. Is she still alive? What's her deal now? She goes off into this whole thing, and she's a kid. What do you think?
Right. So, you know, I think with the thing, one thing with the Infinity Stones, and the one thing with the Infinity Gauntlet here, you know, the glove and the power, the Reality Stone, he can change anything.
Right.
So I don't think that anything that we necessarily that's happened in this film will be the final thing.
Right.
Okay. I don't think so.
Okay.
And I think it's actually the opposite, but we'll go into that later. But I think that Gamora's death was just proving that how serious he is towards his plight.
Right.
And that he actually loves something. He was actually not... He's not a total sociopath.
Right.
Right.
All right. The scene where he throws her off.
It's an intense scene.
That's an intense scene.
Let's give it up for Josh Brolin, man. Right? That guy. Come on,
He's rolling, huh? Look at this. I mean, Brolin's rolling. He's got Deadpool.
Yep.
He's got this.
This guy is... on fire right now.
Who'd have thought the guy out of the Goonies that's making it big?
Bran Josh from the Brolin. Goonies.
Who couldn't ride a bike. Falling into the hill. He's got it figured out. Go figure. Great performance, I tell you. Unreal.
He's on fire, man. I think he just created one of the best Marvel villains. One of the best, like, kind of comic book villains of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Totally agree.
For sure. And then we roll into the final battle at Wakanda, which I think we can agree is... It's okay. It's a little bit too much.
Too many demon dogs.
A little bit too much.
They kept coming, man.
And this is the thing that I think is so... ballsy of Marvel is to give it the Empire Strikes Back ending where the villain wins.
Yes.
I don't know about your screening, but the screening I went to.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Spoiler. He gets all the gems, guys. We kind of knew it. But Thor makes an incredible entrance.
Right.
With the new hammer that they forged with. We didn't mention. Right. Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage coming in. Makes an appearance in here.
Right.
Very questionable appearance.
I wasn't a fan. I felt it was stunt casting.
You know, I agree with you there. I think that was kind of a cheap shot. That was kind of a cheap little way to get him in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
It was entertaining in one part, but I can totally see that. Yeah. He's opening the star. He's got to hold the star up and the thing. We need to find a handle.
And what was his accent? What was that accent? And
yes, exactly. I think they just decided, let's put the Game of Thrones in there. Let's just do it. But yeah.
Right. Super cool scene with Thor holding it open.
It's cool.
And it visually looked fantastic.
Right.
I think visually, but just not my favorite scene. I think one of the weaker scenes in the film. Thor shows up, probably the second big... ovation as far as my whole audience started clapping when Thor shows up.
Yeah.
People wooing in the audience, besides the scene where Captain America and Black Widow show up in Scotland to help out Scarlet Witch and Vision.
Right.
But then he stabs Thanos in the chest.
Yeah.
And then one of the best lines, Thanos goes, "Should have went for the head."
Yeah. That was excellent. Excellent. Right from the comic.
Snaps his fingers.
Yeah.
Reverses everything. You know, we didn't mention him reversing Vision's death, which is incredible as well.
Yeah.
and he then wipes out half the entire universe, right. half of the Marvel MCU heroes.
Right. Mock it.
So, I don't know about your screening. My screening, dead silence. Everyone's crying. There's a ton of people crying in the audience in my screening.
Really?
A lot of people sobbing.
Huh.
Especially the Spider-Man death. Because he's crying. He's weeping.
True.
He's grabbing Tony.
That was an emotional one.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the girls that were behind us weeping, all crying, everyone crying, everybody crying. Okay. everyone's sad. Everybody's sad.
Okay.
Everybody's sad.
Cry.
And then end the movie with Thanos kind of looking over what he's accomplished.
Yeah.
Pleased. Cut to black.
Yeah.
And then how was your reaction from your theater? Dead silence?
It was dead silence.
Yeah.
Total dead silence. I mean, there wasn't much clapping, but there was total dead silence and just people kind of just very shocked.
Right. Ballsy.
I thought it was very ballsy.
Yeah.
But I understood what they're trying to do here. And you know what? That's how you do it. Shake it up.
Yeah, shake it up. I agree. Yeah. I agree. And it was so funny. So when they did the full... They did the cut to the end. Everyone dead silent. This is the reaction though. There's a little kid in the front, maybe 10 rows ahead of us. He goes, "This is a junk movie." And I thought of it too. If I was a little kid, if I was 10 years old in there, and I see my favorite characters all turning to ash, how would I be affected?
Transformers all over again.
We're walking out of the theater. All the little kids all upset.
I don't blame them. Think of it when Transformers the movie came out.
That's right.
In the 80s. It's the same damn thing. We didn't want Optimus to die.
They killed Jazz.
They killed...
Everybody.
Pretty much everybody of the old regime.
Everybody.
The Insecticons.
Right.
Starscream.
What's the guy called? Ironhide.
Ironhide gets shot in the head by Megatron.
Brutal.
That was brutal.
They killed Ironhide. They killed Jazz.
They killed the medic. What was the medic?
The medic. Yeah, nobody remembers the ambulance.
Remembers the medic.
Everybody. No, that's the guy when you go to play at somebody's house, you never brought the ambulance.
You never brought the ambulance, but he was dead. Oh, like the mini Autobots were dying. I mean, all the Jets were dying. It's the same situation.
Yeah, so I can see for little kids. Marvel knows they're making this movie technically for giant babies who are like 30 to 40 year old men.
True.
I know the kids were really upset in the theater.
Yeah.
The kids at our screening were very upset.
Can sympathize.
But you know what? I think all the parents that were consoling them that we could hear, they were saying, "Hey, don't worry. We're going to watch the movie when it comes out next year. Don't worry. They're going to fix them."
Okay. Let's just go into that. Okay. So... I really want your thoughts on this because, okay, me going into this.
Right.
As not a avid, but I know of the characters and whatnot, my guess, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, is for the next one, they're not going to fix this. This is it.
Okay.
And some fixing might happen, but not everybody coming back.
Okay. So this is my theory. My theory is there's no way. So T'Challa dies, right? T'Challa. Spider-Man.
Right.
We both already know if anybody's going onto any movie website, Black Panther is the highest grossing Marvel film of all time.
They gotta bring that back.
They've already greenlit Black Panther 2. He gotta come back.
Right, okay. Spider-Man.
Spider-Man 2 is already greenlit. He coming back. So, you know, anybody with have a brain that knows the machine that Marvel runs, right. They know they gotta bring these guys back.
So in an alternate universe?
No. So I think what it is everything that has been done by the glove. By the gauntlet itself, right? Everything can come back.
Okay.
Everything can come back. I think everyone who turned into dust can come back. The guys that we got to worry about dying in the next one are the guys that are left. Because they are the ones that have to do something to undo that.
Okay.
So I think everyone that's left.
The OGs.
The OGs. No. Captain America. Yeah. Iron Man.
Yeah.
Those are all the guys that they're probably not coming back. So and I'm making that call.
Okay.
And I'm making that call. Oh, it's either Cap or Iron Man. They're going out in the next movie. One or the two. Or both.
Okay, got it. Got it.
That's my guess.
And this is all just a business decision. Not really in a creative decision, but business because we got Black Panther 2 coming up. We got Spider-Man 2 coming up. Robert Downey, he's said enough already.
Yeah. Is that but you're looking at all these... You're looking at all of these different things. You just said it. Robert Downey keeps saying no. Right? They're paying him $40 million a film.
Right.
$40 million. And he's getting back in. So they're saying right now for Infinity War, Robert Downey Jr. will make $110 million off of that.
Yeah.
Right? Guess how much Thor makes for this movie? He made $7 million. Chris Hemsworth made $7 million. Crazy, though.
Unreal.
The $40 million to $7
million. Unreal.
Unbelievable, right? So I don't think Marvel can sustain that kind of payment for him. Now we're getting a little bit more movie inside nerd shit.
Yeah,
You get what I'm saying.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They cannot afford him.
It's going to be relative to all these
movies. I think so.
So, there you have it. I think it's going to be like a big swerve of some sort. There's got to be a swerve.
I agree. So, I think we should be worrying about the guys that are left on Earth, left in the universe,
right,
to save them. Those are the guys that are really, truly at risk of not coming back.
Right.
Anyone who died, Gamora is the one that I'm the most confused about. Like, wow, you're going to kill off...
Right, because they're going to make a Guardians 3.
And the Guardians 3 is already in the works. So that one, if they really stick to that one, good move. I think it's a bold move.
Interesting.
But you got to figure, the gal who plays Gamora, I can't remember her name.
Zoe Saldana.
Zoe Saldana.
Yeah.
She's making 4 Avatar movies with James Cameron. So you don't know either, right? She might be busy.
And then what? Groot's dead, right?
Teenage Groot, right?
Teenage Groot's dead. Batista's dead.
But got Drax gone.
Yep.
So Drax gone.
The only guy left is
Spider-Man
Raccoon.
Gone. Black Panther gone. Vision gone.
Right. Vision waste time.
Right.
And then
Doctor Strange gone.
Doctor Strange is gone.
They got Doctor Strange coming for number 2.
So could Doctor Strange be the whole swerve?
Hulk gone.
Because he goes to to Iron Man. He says, you know what, this had to be done.
Right.
So Doctor Strange know if it's 14 million ways?
Right. All the different scenarios.
Right, the only one.
And he wouldn't have given him the stone in that instance,
right,
whether he knew that the outcome could have been the
right
positive one.
So he's got to be in on something.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it's all going to work out, guys. I don't think anybody is really that nervous. I think the ones that are the most nervous, obviously, are the little kids who don't put it all together.
Grow up, bro. Build character. Become a man.
I can't wait. Why can't you go to like Big Brothers of Hawaii and go watch it with a little kid, man? You're going to ruin a kid's life.
Too much crying. I cannot. Parents going to come after me.
All right. So what is your official mic rating?
The mic rating, I gave it with what I knew going in, 4 mics.
4 mics.
Because I just look at it. Movies are entertainment. Movies are supposed to be entertainment. We're supposed to be thrilled, excited, sad, all the different emotions. And it covers it all. And it goes by so quickly.
I agree.
In a 2.5-hour movie, which I would not even say to anything.
240.
240 with trailers. You're 3 hours of your life.
Yep.
And I thought it was great. I want to see it again.
I want to see it again too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So for that.
It's made for multiple viewing.
I got to see it. And of course, you see the things that you missed.
And then let's bring up the post credits.
Oh yeah,
post credits.
Yeah, okay, right. Brie Larson.
Right. Here so yeah, we are in the post credit scene. We see Nick Fury and Maria Hill from S.H.I.E.L.D. driving, and then we get the scenario: if half the Earth's population disappeared, what would happen? Planes crashing, people disintegrating in their cars. Cars crashing. It's just pure chaos, right?
Already.
And then before Nick Fury can disintegrate, he hits the transmitter.
Well, he says mother. He's about to
right. He's about to say
classic
mother.
Classic Sam Jackson.
MF-er.
Great. Great, Sam.
And calls the insignia, which is Captain Marvel.
Yes.
Who is, kind of like, in a way, the Green Lantern, kind of the cosmic police of the Marvel Universe.
She ain't going to save the day for everybody, but she'll be there. People think that she's going to save the day. She ain't that strong, right?
She is going to be one of the strongest characters in the Marvel Universe.
Like stronger, like Thor strong?
Right.
Really?
On that level. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So that's, and I feel like they're going to introduce other characters in the next film.
Yeah.
If they really want to pay homage to the comic books and really stay true. Because if you watch, have you watched Guardians 2 yet?
Yes.
At the end of that movie, do you remember they mentioned someone called Adam because they were creating the gold people?
Okay, yes.
Remember those gold people?
Yes.
So that's in reference to Adam Warlock, who's a big character in helping take Thanos down.
Right. And then is death going to be coming too?
I don't think so. I think Marvel felt like that was just too dark and too convoluted to bring into it, right? Because in the original comic book, I'm glad you brought it up. For most people that don't know, Thanos is actually putting the Infinity Gauntlet together to kill half the universe to appease his lover, who is Lady Death.
Right.
Who is Death, but takes form as a woman.
Right. Not the one that was the Captain America guy, the red face guy.
That was Red Skull. He got sucked into the Tesseract.
Because he was trying to get the thing. Who was played by Aaron from Walking Dead.
Because
Right.
Because they couldn't get the original guy, Hugo Weaving, who was Mr. Anderson from The Matrix.
Right, right.
There you go.
But shout out to Aaron from Walking Dead. He's an impersonator. He's good, man. Check him out on YouTube, man. He got all these different impersonations.
Yeah, he does everything. So yeah, four mic.
Okay.
We got it, bro.
This is a good one, man. I mean, we're watching this again. We're going to sneak in the chemical seafood, man. We're going to go in this movie. Yeah. Nobody cares at the theater. Titan Lux. Shout out to the War Theater. I talked to you about Titan Island. I'm going to tell you this right now, okay? You go to Titan Lux. Is it auditorium 9 through 12? FYI. That's got the reclining seats. Just want to let the people know. Because I was having a bitch of a time trying to get the seats last night.
I think every screen in that theater, if I'm not mistaken, has been converted to recliner now.
Seriously?
If I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. Wow. People can always comment on their thing, but I know from 9 on all the way up to, what is it, 16? Is it 18? How many screens is in there?
18?
I know from 9 to 18, they're all recliner. Because you know on the right side of the theater?
Yeah.
That's the side you can drink booze, you can buy beer, you can buy wine. That's all recliner chairs, even in the small screens. But I know the biggest ones are the main four, right? 9, 10, 11, 12.
Right.
Those are the biggest screens. Those are all recliners.
Shout out to the big screen, man.
Hey, that's worth it. Worth the money.
Damn right. Reserve them, bro. Good stuff. All right, that's it. This is okay. I hope you enjoyed our embellishment here. We're at 35 minutes. This may have to be a solo thing. But
speaking of solo, we're going to review Solo.
And then how we segue into that, go figure. Solo coming up, 25th of May. Get ready. Nerds, rejoice. But yes, Sky, as always, thank you. The movie critic, star, to the stars.
All right, pleasure to be here.
Sommelier to the stars, drinking wine. Do you ever drink wine at a movie? Because you go to movies like every Sunday, right?
Nah.
We
sneak in the flask.
Okay.
We bring the flask in the theater.
What's in the flask? What kind of?
Ring whiskey in the flask.
There you go, Ward, you never heard that.
You buy the Coke, eat the whiskey in the flask, mix them up.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Sleep Time's Over exclusive. Infinity War, if you guys haven't seen it, well, you're not listening to this. But if you have, hopefully you got some information out of this. Sky, as always, thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
We're out. Let's go.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Sleep Time's Over. Time's over. No sleeping tonight.